from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. The death toll in Tehama County has risen to 6. This includes the shooter. And authorities say this gunman, who went on a shooting spree in the rural Northern California county on Tuesday, had killed his wife hours earlier. Here's Tehama County Assistant Sheriff Phil Johnston.
We're confident that he shot her probably late Monday and literally just put her body in the floor and covered it up.
He then went on a shooting spree at multiple locations, including an elementary school, where he wounded several children. Now, there is a deep correlation between domestic violence and mass shootings. In California this year, there have been more than 40 mass shootings, according to massshootingtracker.org. Meanwhile, data collected by Every Town for Gun Safety shows between the years 2009 and 2016, in more than half of the mass shootings in the United States, this is where four or more people were shot with a gun, the shooters killed intimate partners or family members 54% of the time. Professor Nancy Lemon at UC Berkeley Bolt School of Law teaches the domestic violence seminar, and she says it's common for abusers to have guns.
I would imagine that the wife in this case was probably aware that her husband had a gun or multiple guns, but was too afraid to tell anybody about that because he had probably threatened her with those guns. So guns are used not just to kill people, but also to intimidate people and keep them under control.
Now, abusers are not supposed to have guns. Those who have restraining orders against them are often supposed to turn over these weapons. But the problem is resources. There often isn't the law enforcement personnel available to enforce those orders. Professor Lemon points to a San Mateo County pilot program created in 2010 that hired an extra sheriff's deputy to check on gun ownership in men with domestic violence restraining orders or convictions.
The sheriff's deputies would go out to the house with their bulletproof vests on, knock on the door and say, "Excuse me, sir, but you're under a court order to get rid of your guns, or you've been convicted of domestic violence. We're here to pick up your guns and ammunition."
That program reduced domestic violence-related murders in San Mateo County to 0. In the meantime, with no gun legislation on the horizon, no new pilot programs for law enforcement, Lemon says it's critical for neighbors not to look away when they see or hear abuse.
And it's really important to not just say, "Oh, they're at it again," but instead to call 911.
Just think of the last 3 major mass shootings alone. The one that just happened, Las Vegas and Sutherland Springs. In 2 of those 3 shootings, the shooter killed his partner before striking out at the community. We're going to move on now and look at a different subject, this one in Los Angeles, this one with the LA Unified School District. They're making plans to upgrade its digital presence on smartphones. Yeah, they got an app for that. KPCC's Kyle Stokes reports.
LAUSD parents can already access an online gradebook via a mobile app, but that app doesn't include things like student attendance records or online forms. Those are available on the district's parent portal, which is only a website. School board member Nick Melvoin imagines a new app that can tie this all together.
This is kind of the portal by which you can access everything you're going to need in the district.
Melvoin envisions the new app as a means to replace robocalls and paper surveys with push notifications. The board resolution calls for a beta version to be ready by May, which LAUSD's chief information officer Shahryar Hazai says will be a quick turnaround.
It's an aggressive timeline, but we like challenges.
Hazai would not estimate how much the new app will cost. It's also not clear whether the district will build the app itself or outsource the project. For the California Report, I'm Kyle Stokes in Los Angeles.
2 new ACLU reports have put Central Valley law enforcement in the spotlight for alleged civil rights violations. Here's KQED's Vanessa Roncagno.
Last December, Laura Cerna's 73-year-old father, Francisco, walked out of his house carrying a crucifix.
We don't know how lucid he was at the time.
Francisco Cerna had dementia, and he wandered sometimes. A neighbor saw him outside and mistook the crucifix for a gun.
So the police came out and killed him without truly investigating or seeing what the problem was.
It's not a new complaint. The state attorney general's office is investigating Bakersfield PD and Kern County sheriffs for potential civil rights violations. That's where the ACLU comes in. Here's attorney Adriana Wong.
We wanted to provide a data analysis in aid of the Attorney General's investigation.
The report she helped write found Bakersfield PD had the highest rate of police homicides per capita of the country's biggest police departments. It also found Kern County Sheriff's deputies shot and killed far more people than other agencies in areas with similar populations.
What's also striking is that many of the shootings that we reviewed involved people who were unarmed, and we found that more people of color were being shot and killed.
The ACLU also found excessive use of force in the form of dog attacks, beatings, and tasings. Mark Nations, a lawyer for Kern County, takes issue with the report.
We feel that it was based on partial and in many cases inaccurate information.
He wouldn't say more because of the Attorney General's ongoing investigation. The ACLU's Fresno report focused on officer-involved shootings, though the department's not currently under investigation by the state. The report found Fresno PD averaged about 9 shootings per year. Staff attorney Novella Coleman says that's high, and she worries about repeat shooters.
There were at least 55 officers who have been involved in multiple shootings.
But Fresno Police Chief Jerry Dyer points to a grand jury report that reviewed 17 years of officer-involved shooting investigations and reached favorable conclusions.
So I'm very confident that the policies and the training, the procedures we have in place are very sound.
The ACLU submitted both reports to the state attorney general's office. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Rancagno in Fresno.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Through technology, design, and human support, Collective Health offers companies and their people a new way to experience health benefits. CollectiveHealth.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Paint Care, now with more than 800 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org.
And this has been the California Report for Thursday, November 16th, a week from Thanksgiving, y'all, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulvedo. Have a great day.